international tour. This Winnipeg band is known for being exuberant and anthemic at times, moody and soulful at others. Don't miss Imaginary Cities, live at the Waldorf on July 12th. Buy your tickets at livenation.com, TicketWeb, or charge by phone at 1-888-222-6608.
Arts Report on CITR 101.9. I am Megan, your fearless host. Today on the Arts Report, we've got the Jessies, we've got water, and we've got some Spice Girls. That is right. It is 5 o'clock on Wednesday, which means it's time for the Arts Report, your weekly fix of arts news, reviews, and interviews on 101.9 and CITR.ca. And, you know, we're pretty... thank you very much for Alex for that last hour. He is our intern from a local high school, and it's really cool to have people come out from the youth and just mold them. Just mold them into what we want them to be. We have a really great show coming up. I'm going to cover some highlights of the Jessies from some of the people that were there last night. Just our correspondents, people who were excited to be there as watching things unfold. We will be talking about Water from Theatre Terrific, which is a group of various abilities who are doing an amazing site-specific performance at Andy Livingston Park starting soon. And then the second half of the Arts Report, we have a friend of mine, Christina Chand, is here. The Arts Report is sponsoring a really cool pop art amateur professional amazing gallery exhibit at the Fall on July 7th. So we will talk to her about that. And you know we're going to play some Spice Girls, and it's not even going to be ironic. I'm going to dance around. You won't be able to see it, but it'll be happening. So the Jessies were just the other day, and I wanted to let people know what some of our correspondents thought about the evening. We had Nick Sartor, Sarah Banting, and Ariel Fournier went to the Jessies. And if you are not familiar with it, the Jesse Richardson Awards are given out every year for just outstanding theater. And they have categories for large and small theater groups, outstanding performances, set design, anything that you like. And we actually had some of our CITR and UBC alum, most specifically Brian Cochrane and Okra Chen, were part of the group that won. I believe it was outstanding or significant achievement with music or DJ performance. And Okra Chen hosts Funk My Life here on CITR, and well deserved by everyone. Now, Sarah Banting was at the event. She has her doctoral studies from UBC, and when she was pursuing her studies, she was interested in audience responses to theater. And while she didn't get to talk too much about Vancouver in her thesis, she went to a lot of shows. She volunteered and she made connections and eventually became part of the Playwrights Theater Center, which does script development and playwright support. And she's now on their board of directors. You can actually tweet at her at PlayEnthusiast on Twitter. And I thought I would play for you at home a few of her ideas about the Jessies last night. And we started with some of her highlights and lowlights. So tell me about the highlights and lowlights.
Seeing some of the talented people that I've observed at work getting awards. Colleen Wheeler is one of my other people I love following. She's such an amazing actress. She's playing Lady Macbeth right now at Bard on the Beach, but she won Best Actress in a Supporting Role for a large theater production for her role as Odysseus in the Penelopeiad. And she had just been so awesome on stage that I was delighted to see her, and delighted to see her kind of in her own clothing as opposed to her Odysseus clothing, which made her really androgynous, even masculine. She's just so amazing. So it was awesome to see her looking all glamorous on stage.
Now, is there any, anyone give just an amazing speech or, like, something really funny in terms of something outrageous happening? Like, give us the gossip.
The gossip. So there was, the speeches were sort of often the typical kind of, like, I'm shocked, I'm thankful. Some of them were funny that way. I think the sort of most scandalous moment of the night was that when the MC, occasionally to sort of intersperse in between the different awards being given and the speeches, the MC would do these little kind of comic moments that involved fake tweets that had been written, and he would sort of read them as if they'd just been tweeted by people who were in the room. And so one of the tweets, or people either in the room or paying attention, so one of the tweets was supposedly from, I forget the name of the person, but the man who recently tightrope walked across. Yeah, was it Niagara Falls?
Maybe.
That person, whoever it was.
Anything on a tightrope is terrifying, so I have respect for that.
Exactly. He. So this tweet was supposedly from him, and he was saying that he was setting out to tightrope walk across the ego of an actor who's been performing on a whole bunch of Bard on the Beach productions, who's a major actor around town. I can't forget it. Bob Fraser. So the tweet was like, I'm just starting my high wire tightrope walk over Bob Fraser's ego, should take all night. And then the MCS, who was reading them out, said, haha, I'm sure, thank goodness Bob Fraser isn't in the room. But he was in the room, and there
so
was
did the presenter kid. Literally not know he was in the room?
Yeah, apparently not. He sort of made a ha-ha, thank goodness he's not here, I'm assured of that, but then was sort of shocked to realize that this man who he just sort of teased publicly was in fact there.
So you gotta stand by your jokes if you can't say it to their face.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not about being polite, that's more about just sticking to your rudeness, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Just be rude and then stand by it.
Yeah, and he did a reasonable job of that, and it seemed like everything was taken in really good humor. So that was good. And another, I think, kind of one of the undercurrents of the mood, it seemed to me, last night was it not defiance, but a kind of sense that the theater community, like the broader arts community, has been struggling to
worked through funding cuts and a kind of political climate in the country that are not that is not necessarily super supportive of new avant-garde art. And so one of the actors who was winning an award for outstanding performance by an actor in a supporting role for a small theater production, he sort of spoke about how he had often been typecast, as he called it, the perennial asshole.
And this is Michael Kopsa?
That's right. So this is it. He said receiving this award, he's like, I guess this means I've graduated from being cast as the perennial asshole to being the Prince of Darkness himself. And then
he said that
he'd like to thank Stephen Harper for the inspiration for that role. So there was a fairly strong reaction to that kind of political moment.
I was curious about how they handled the Playhouse closure.
Yeah, that was actually interesting. It was interesting how much that the organizers had decided to make, to sort of mark that and memorialize the Playhouse with this particular event, the Jesse. So there were a number of things that were built into the program. There was a slideshow that sort of a whole melange of different songs that had been on stage at the Playhouse in productions over the years. And so there was some kind of official notice of the Playhouse and official attention to it. And a couple of times anyway, people, as they accepted their awards, made reference to the Playhouse one time, and particularly somebody once spoke particularly strongly about the way that the news of the Playhouse's closure had struck him, and every time that happened, people got quiet. So I wouldn't say there was a tone of fear or real desperation about this major closure. I think there's a lot of sense of momentum and confidence and theater in Vancouver. That's how it seems to me. But there was definitely a feeling that one of the things the Jesse's wanted to mark about this year was the doors closing at the Vancouver Playhouse.
And yeah, that was Sarah Banting. So she was going and decided to talk to me for a few minutes the other day. For those of you who don't know about the Jessies, I mean, I didn't know that much about them. The Jesse Richardson Awards, it's actually a theater award society, is actually a non-for-profit that celebrates and promotes the achievements of, you know, the professional theater community in Vancouver. And it was formed in 1997. And has been presenting it based on the GVPTA, so the Greater Vancouver Professional Theater Alliance, was actually presenting awards already, and they kind of took it over from there. Jesse Richardson was a supportive individual of theater for over 40 years, starting in the 1930s in the Vancouver Little Theater Association. So she, you know, she acted, directed, designed costumes, and supported children's touring companies, and, you know, obviously such a great contribution that they named the awards after. Very sweet story. So you can actually learn more about that at jessies.ca, and it's a very prestigious award. Some of the performances she was talking about, I actually did see Colleen Wheeler in the Penelopeiad as Odysseus, and it was an amazing performance. The Penelopeiad was all female cast, including the male parts, and she did an excellent job of embodying this maleness without actually being stereotypical. So she, you know, well-deserved award. Now, Nick Sartor also went, and he had a couple of his favorite award winners and some of the things that he really enjoyed. So that here is Nick on the Jessies of 2012. Now, were there any awards that you were surprised at, or did things kind of go as you had expected as someone who keeps their finger on the pulse of theater in Vancouver?
I think, the one thing that didn't surprise me at all was the number of awards that the Electric Company took home for All the Way Home.
They've been amazing this year.
They're always amazing. They do amazing things all the time. And while Kim Collier, who's the director of the show and one of their wonderful artistic, she's a visionary, really. Kim's brilliant, but she had the one speech, I think it was when she won for Seven Direction Small Theater for All the Way Home, and she just went on and on, and it was good. But she was talking about, you know, theater and humanity, and so it was very, easy to get caught up in her passion for her work. But yeah, so that was cool. That didn't surprise me in the least that show took home as many awards as it did. One that did surprise me was the very last one of the evening, and I think it's well deserved. But it was for outstanding production, large theater. And the company that won is Patrick Street Productions with The Light in the Piazza, which was a musical that went up. And just compared to some of the others, I was definitely surprised. I think they were surprised, but they put together a great show.
Now, were you surprised because they just were up against some really tough competition and they were kind of an underdog, or?
Well, yeah, I think that's part of it. I think the other thing is it seems to be a trend at the Jesse Awards that a lot of the awards, like, it's the same nominees you're hearing over and over again. It's the same people that are getting nominated for awards. And it, usually it's the same people, like, for example, Electric Company, that'll go in and, like, sweep the whole thing and just win, you know, a handful of awards. And Light at the Piazza didn't really win. I don't know if they won anything. I'm looking over the list right now. If they won anything other than Outstanding Production, which is incredible. They definitely had some other nominations. It was cool right at the end for them just to sort of snag that, you know, basically what is a lot of people consider to be one of the bigger awards, obviously.
That's like the best movie kind
exactly.
of.
Exactly. That's like best
Oscar.
Picture.
But
exactly.
not winning, like you're winning best picture, but you didn't win like best director or best actor or best writer or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You didn't really win anything else. So that was interesting. And the one that I was really, really excited about, very happy about, was one of the special awards. So there's a few different categories of special awards, and mm-hmm. there's one. It's the Sam Payne Award for Most Promising Newcomer.
Yeah, that was, and you actually have interviewed him before, yeah?
That's right. Yeah, Anton Lipovets. Yeah, Anton won for his, he won for Most Promising Newcomer, but most recently his work is probably, like, he's probably recognized in Vancouver for his one-man musical called Flop, which we definitely interviewed him on the Arts Report for. Anton is a super cool guy. His show is phenomenal, and it's really great that there are awards like that at the Jessies. And that was a theme that I noticed that came up a few times, was this idea of sort of the next generation of theater artists that are coming up in the community. And, it came up with the Playhouse Change, you know, the Lost in Playhouse, and, people that were just talking about, you know, what's next. And that was, it's exciting to see that there are a lot of young artists. There's another young artist, and I'm trying to find his name. He was a presenter as well. Marshall McMahon, All the Way Home, Outstanding Set Design. He's a recent grad from the UBC theater program. So it's cool to see that next generation of theater artists coming in and being recognized for the work they're doing.
Sorry, which one was the one that was the UBC theater grad?
Marshall McMahon, he won for Outstanding Set Design Small Theater for Electric Company All the Way Home. I'm just trying to see, there was one other UBC, notable UBC grad, Vanessa Imeson. She won Outstanding Costume Design Small Theater for The Bombity of Errors.
Yeah, and so did Ochre and the music, they won, didn't Bombity?
Oh, they won.
It
oh,
won, they, like, yes. Musical DJ or... performance or something? Music or DJ performance?
Significant artistic achievement. Small theater for the entire... it says outstanding ensemble performance with live music and DJ.
Yeah.
And the category was significant artistic achievement.
Yeah, and I think that's awesome because I'm
very
totally
cool.
Gonna... We can claim credit for that fully.
Yeah.
So yes, we... CITR claims credit because why not? They're not here at this very moment, even though we would love to have them. So a lot of information in there. Ariel Fournier, one of our correspondents, was also there. She said that she really enjoyed the Pat Smith and Kevin Tanner's speeches because not just the well-deserved attention, but apparently Pat Smith had the most adorable, according to Ariel, speech of the night, which was like, I'm old, I'm tired, and this is fantastic. You can definitely check out all of the award winners on the Jessies on jessies.ca, so www.jessies.ca,
And thank you very much to those guys for attending on my behalf. And you can actually look at a live blog that was happening on miss604.com. She's a local and amazing, and I believe award-winning herself, blogger from Vancouver. It's, you know, /2012/06/etc. So just Google that. And we are going to take a brief break. And when we get back and we are over the post Jesse's flush that I'm sure we all have right now, I know I do, we are going to talk about Water, the upcoming production from the amazing Theater Terrific, which brings together people of all sorts of abilities to make a beautiful collaborative piece. So please, please stay tuned.
On July 8th, Summer's In at the Backstage Lounge at 1585 Johnson Street on Granville Island. It's an evening of song and dance with Anthropology of Love, The Ponderosas, Mercy Years, and Blake Acoustic. Four fantastic acts for $8. Doors are at 8 and the music starts at 8:30. And find Anthropology of Love on Facebook to enter their photo contest. Capture an expression of love for your chance to win a performance in the comfort of your own home. Submissions are due by July 1st. Winners will be announced at Backstage Lounge after the headline. Sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM and Historical Records.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Hold water close, close to your heart. Fight for its freedom to flow clean and bright. Stand by the rivers, the streams, and the lakes. Sing praise to water for our future's sake. Sing praise to water for our future's sake.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. That was Patty Palm singing a refrain from her role in the show Water. And Water is from Theater Terrific. It's one big story about water, its influences in our lives. It's, you know, its fundamental place in our civilization. And you have river gods, fish, fishermen, water carriers, water buyers. You have a river. You have a wise old fish. You have puppets, music, art, and more. And it's one big show with segments and performances from a group of people whose abilities are a wide range of influences and challenges. It's going to be set at Andy Livingston Park, June 29th and July 8th, and it's ensemble-based, site-specific production. It tells the story of one river and its diverse inhabitants, both past and present, and it includes professional and emerging artists with or without developmental, physical, or mental health challenges, gender or language challenges as well. It was directed by Susanna Ukaitis and James Coomer, with puppetry by Tim Gosley. He's actually been part of the Muppets, which is one of my favorite artistic creations ever. And it's a celebration of what they call the microcosm of civilization's greatest and most precious element on this planet. Now, Susanna spoke to me briefly earlier today, and she said she chose water because of its universal quality, and actually because of its not universal quality. Listen to this. 2 years ago, she read in the Globe and Mail about the UN resolution in around July 2010 that voted water as a universal human right. So there you have the universal. But Canada is one of 40 countries which abstained. So not so universal in Canada. Yet we're so water rich.
She says that water is an element of humanity at its very base level. We're made of water. We survive by water, but only 1% of our drinking of our water is drinkable. And so it is very precious, while at the same time, in some places being abundant, and in other places obviously being very rare. So the narrative flow of the show actually follows the flow of water. It's in praise of water with the mini narratives, as I described. And I spoke to Patty and Anna, who are two performers. Patty works with the Wise Big Fish, which is the huge puppet from Tim Gosley. And Anna is one of the water carriers. And they came into the studio yesterday to talk to me a little bit about what it's like to work in Theater Terrific, whose mandate is to combine the inclusivity and inspiration of its various members of various abilities, while at the same time, you know, really having the rigorous theater and the theoretical theater that any company would be happy to have. So we spoke to those guys, were generous enough with their time, and here is an excerpt, about a third of the time we actually talked, and we will be putting the rest of it up on our Mixcloud and our Facebook after you get this little taste from Patty and Anna.
Forward actors of all abilities, so it doesn't matter how you come in. There is always a role for you to play within the productions, and then it makes the process greater than the production itself. I think we have some individuals that have disabilities is not it. Maybe differently abled. I prefer the term is differently abled. In everyday life, we are all differently abled. Zana works on the basis of what some would know as more theater sports. This is a situation. This is what needs to happen. It has to include a song, a movement, a function, a group activity, or the ilk of it. And through that, what comes from that in various groups, because there's usually broken into 3-4 groups, however the numbers line up, it's what comes from that very organic base place that is offered from one group and viewed by another group that is kind of tabulated and accumulated. And then this wonderful story of water comes from what is offered from the group. And Suzanne and James, who are our musical director, for lack of a better term, together they create lyrics from what happens, music to accompany the lyrics, which is fantastic, and a story. And everyone is given a little bit to tell the story that is within the basis of what they are able to bring.
And the thing is, at the beginning, I was surprised to see all these people together. I got a little bit, wow, how is this going to work? and then I realized that not only I didn't have to take the lead, but that this ensemble taught me a lot about theater and a lot about spontaneity and a lot about creativity, because their sources of inspiration are wild and beyond. Mm-hmm. So they are pretty super able to do theater and to do good theater, because their imagination is not filtered by everyday's society. It's not filtered by the regular concerns that some of us have on a regular basis, right? So it's pretty open. So I suppose of me having to come with my theater experience, I'm taking away a lot. I feel that I broke some boundaries that needed to be broken that way, like in one, you know, in one big hit.
Let's talk a little bit about water. All right, the show and the thing, the element. Did you have a specific anecdote or philosophy around water that inspired your performance?
What I think inspired my performance is... What I really think inspired my performance was really the cast. The things they come up with at rehearsals are just so fantastic. The knowledge, because they're all interested about water, right? So they are finding like these little things and these little pills of wisdom about water, right? With such passion that I thought, if I'm the water carrier, I'm going to be the happiest, most proud water carrier ever. Because it's like we are containing, because we're more than one. I'm one water carrier, but there's like 7 or 6 of us. So I'm going to contain all this happiness, and we've created together a chant for it. So we chant really loud, and I just move my shoulders because I'm trying to give it a Latin American look, because my background is from Peru. So I kind of give it some shoulder movement and some like hip movement, and we put like our buckets really up and we start chanting. I'll give you a little bit.
Give me a little taste.
So what we do is we get the buckets and we go like, ooh, ha, hey, 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 and off we go. So that was really inspired by the cast. They started making these sounds, they started having these movements, and we just put it together, right? So it was more cast-oriented that way.
How about you, Patty? Is there a specific anecdote or, you know, feeling connection to water that you found inspired your performance? And she already said cast, so you have to come up with something else. She used it up. She used up the easy answer.
Okay. I personally, I ground out in water. If I'm totally stressed out, I will find the nearest pond, the nearest beach, kick my shoes off, bury my toes in the sand or gravel or whatever it is, and just stand knee-deep in water and just breathe. And it's, for me, it's a really calming thing. I've got some muscular skeletal things, so when I hit the pool and I can actually float, I'm weightless. And nothing bothers me too much, but it's kind of like a state of grace, if you will. But I also have a minor environmental studies. So water conservation, that concept and thing, it's a really nice way to introduce people to that concept in a fun way, in an enveloping way. But there's some real hard truths in what is being offered in the production. I don't know, because it's always been a part of me. I also fish, so catch and release, water responsibility. If we don't take care of it, we don't have fish stocks. We don't take care of the water. We do not have vegetation. We do not have food. And if you lose your ability to produce and control your food source, you become enslaved at, you know, some other conglomerate will do that on your behalf, but then you lose that life, you lose that pleasure. So for me, it's kind of it's a question that I've already come to terms with and have kind of committed to. So it's a really nice way of kind of saying, wow, it's not only me, there's a group, and there's a movement behind that, and maybe that will help inspire other people to think, you know, in a different way about what it is. Do not think of Theater Terrific as a special company. They are a verifiable theater company at par with any other company that's around. So if you remove the idea that they are special, just come and accept it as a production.
Yeah, not a novelty.
Yeah, no, it's not a sideshow. It's really, it's incredible.
So that was Patty and Anna. Patty has worked with Theater Terrific for a number of productions, but a year, I believe, Trunk Full of Chickens and The Bride Project. And Anna is a director and a filmmaker. She was in VLAF in 2009, and which is coming up again in August, and we will do some coverage of that as well. And again, Water opens June 29th. It runs Friday to Sunday at 2 p.m. until July 8th. Now, it takes place at Andy Livingston Park, which is on Corral Street, 89 Expo Boulevard. And I asked Susanna about why she chose the park. And at first, she didn't even know about it. They have offices at SFU Woodward, and it's only 3 blocks away. But one of her production professionals, they, you know, tallied up all the parks that were available to do a theater event in, and they narrowed it down to these 3 choices. And Andy Livingston was the first choice they visited and the first choice in their hearts. And it has the accessibility. It has she said that the placement of the park right downtown was very important to her. But most importantly, apparently, natural amphitheater. It has levels and, you know, this kind of 3D effect that makes it almost a natural theater. So please do go down to Andy Livingston Park on June 29th until July 8th, Friday to Sunday, 2 p.m. Obviously, wheelchair accessible. You know, bring a chair, bring a blanket, bring a picnic. Best of all, admission is by donation. And if you are unlike me and have a full-time job, then suggested donation is $10. And I think that's a really reasonable price for any type of theater. But it is by donation. They want it to be accessible for as many people as possible. I talked actually quite a bit longer with Patty and Anna, and they went more into what water meant to them, water conservation, and a little bit more about normal versus what we might call unnormal. And it was a really interesting conversation. So I'm going to post that tomorrow on Facebook. Like us on Facebook to get those kind of extras, or you can visit our Mixcloud. Just Google Mixcloud CITR Arts Report. So we are going to take another break, and when we return, oh, what time is it? It's a little of this.
The 35th Annual Vancouver Folk Music Festival comes to Jericho Beach Park, July 13th to 15th. From Dan Mangan to The Head and the Heart and Hey Rosetta to the voice of Tunisia's Emel Mathaluthi and Mozambique's Wazimbo, there are artists you know and love, plus a world of amazing music to discover. 3 evenings, 2 full days of music and magic. You want to be there. Info and tickets at thefestival.bc.ca, supported in part by CITR 101.9 FM. So I gave up all my
wretched thoughts. Well-known pimp, narcotics king, big-time racketeer, back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Come on. I won't let you down. Follow me.
Exploding Head Movies. Monday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Spice up your life!
Don't even pretend like you don't recognize the Spice Girls. I see you. I know what you're thinking. The Spice Girls, an enigma, a mystery, a puzzle. Coming up at the Fall Tattooing Gallery, July 7th until, when is it from?
One night only. Christina Chant is here, and she is the myth behind the legend, the person who is organizing this event at the Fall Tattooing Gallery, July 7th. It goes until 2 a.m., so there's no excuse. And Christina was generous enough to join me to promote her own event. It started with the Stevens Gallery. After Christina came back from Burning Man, she had a few years ago, she has some leftover art. What was she going to do? So she took a couple of weeks. She stole someone's old idea about doing a Stevens Seagull art gallery. And over 100 people showed up at the Toast Collective. Next, it was Bill Murray with Bill, You Marry Me. And you had over 150 submissions and over 600 people came. No talent necessary is the mandate. As long as it pertains to the subject. And this time, it's the Spice Girls Zigzag Gallery. Fun, drag, music, female-focused, spicy.
I like that.
Now, I learned about this because you sent me an invite to your Spice Girls art party at the Toast Collective, which is just around the corner from my house. And I'll give some more shout-out to them later. It was just a whole gaggle of people painting, sculpting, dancing, drinking. And it is all in order to create promotions and art for this event. I'm going to quickly play a little interview that I did on the spot.
Oh, embarrassing.
It's not with you. So it's only embarrassing for Chris. This is Chris J, and he was at the Spice Girls art party. If you look on our Facebook, you will see him as Baby Spice in the poster. And he's going to say a couple of things about the Spice Girls, and then we are going to get into exactly what Christina's hoping to accomplish with this amazing event.
Are you doing a piece of art? Are you working a piece of art? What's your piece of art about?
It's a series. I'm doing portraits with macaroni and feathers and glitter lips.
Did you participate in, like, the Stevens Gallery or no. The Bill Murray?
The Bill Murray.
Oh, okay.
There was glitter lips in that, too.
What was your name?
Stephanie.
And Chris, you have participated in the Bill Murray and the Spice Girls as well.
Yes.
What do you love about the Spice Girls and why?
I don't quite know what I love about the Spice Girls. I find them really kitschy, and I like kitschy things, so it's enjoyable. I love them for that. They're funny.
What's your piece of art for the Spice Girls?
I'm writing a penthouse letter, a very realistic penthouse letter about the night that I had sex with all five Spice Girls.
And you were also just dressed up as a Spice Girl. Which Spice Girl were you?
I was Baby Spice.
And what's your attachment to Baby Spice?
Yeah, I find that completely bizarre and weird. They completely infantilize her. It's disgusting. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
I can't even look at it.
The Spice Girls are terrifying.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it.
Scary Spice, at least, is a woman.
Yeah, she's scary. She, like, takes her life in her hands.
Yeah, she takes her life in her hands. She's a feminist. That's why she's Scary Spice. Her original name was Feminist Spice.
But everyone knows feminism is scary.
Like, scary.
Feminism is scary. Yeah.
Feminism is scary. Scary. Fight the power. At home, you guys at home, fight the power. So, Christina, I've taken up a bunch of time. Tell me in your own words why the Spice Girls, and what are these kind of no talent necessary art shows all about?
Okay, well, I think I'll start actually with your second question.
Please do, just mix it all up.
I will, make it confusing. Basically, the mandate behind our projects has always been to be inclusive. And originally, we were inclusive because the Stevens Gallery was a collection of art from people who may not necessarily be considered skilled in making art, to be kind, and also included people who are extremely talented and are, I would consider, even professional at making art. And when we realized that we could continue this fun, we wanted to continue in that fashion. And in order to encourage more involvement from multiple people, and also to encourage just creativity in the projects and pieces that they would submit. And it worked, and it's been amazing. And one of the best parts about this like the finagle of shows has been that I've had people come up to me and say, you know, I decided to submit, and it's my first time submitting, because you put in there quick and dirty, and it's not threatening. And I felt like, okay, maybe my art could be in this show. And then they see their stuff up, and they're all excited, and it's like you have like this paper sketch drawing right next to this really nice oil painting, and it's a cool experience because it kind of brings down those barriers.
Penthouse letter,
exactly. We love penthouse. No,
that's actually the secondary tagline. Well, no, I mean the Spice Girls are this weird proto. I don't know. They're a weird mix. And is mm-hmm. that like the uniqueness of the subject? Do you choose them just to bring out the uniqueness in the art, or how do you choose your subjects?
We choose, well, the Stevenson Gallery came up because of a friend of mine who had talked about doing this for a long time, and we were like, we're doing it. It's funny, it's weird, it's kitschy. As Chris said, there's the irony as well as the cult fan base. So by having both of those things, you do get this really cool love-in and hate fuck. Sorry.
You cannot say that before 9 o'clock.
Sorry, I did not say that.
I apologize for that, everyone at home who's listening with their children. But we did already mention penthouse. But that you can explain that to them on your own terms.
I apologize. You can send the hate mail to me. I'll read my email afterwards. Sorry. So basically, we chose the Spice Girls, number one, because we had been thinking about what type of female
wanted some girls.
Yes, we wanted some girls, ladies, women. You know, we wanted to focus on that, and also we wanted it to be accessible. Spice Girls were such a cult, they basically like brainwashed people for 3 years about girl power, and there's a
how it was scary.
And I also think because of the nostalgia factor as well, that there's a lot of excitement that's generated because of it, which we also saw with Bill Murray. So it's worked out really well. We've had some really great feedback.
So you're doing it at the Fall, and the Fall is actually a sponsor of CHR. They're a really cool, they sponsor Radio Zero, and right now I believe they're doing Power Chord as well. And this is what he said. He said that the Fall is community-minded, and we want to facilitate the livelihoods of professionals in the community. But it's art is more than just work. It's a fun way to communicate and get like-minded people together. Events like Christina's get dozens of art enthusiasts involved in creating and exhibiting art with a fun theme that is a strong emotional connection. Everyone in the 90s era knows the Spice Girls, and if you didn't listen to their music, you at least appreciate the persona the band took on. Appreciated may be a strong term, but I see what he's saying. Now, where does the money go? Like, if someone buys a piece of art?
So if someone buys a piece of art from the evening, all the proceeds go to the artist. So we sold quite a bit of art at the Bill Murray Show. All went to the artist. And our show is by donation. So we want everyone to come. You can contribute if you'd like. You don't have to. There's no pressure. And there will be beverages there. And that goes towards the Fall.
So one of the things we were kind of talking about off air was the kind of DIY idea. And I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about what DIY art and what DIY in Vancouver has meant to you, because I know mm-hmm. that you're a registered nurse, correct?
Yes.
Yep. So that's badass. And then you're a volunteer coordinator at the Olio, and you were saying about how you like getting involved in festivals and volunteering, and you're now their volunteer coordinator because you like participating in those cultural mm-hmm. events, like deep into the nitty gritty. So tell us a little bit about what this area of your life is kind of, what does that mean to you?
Well, I guess once I realized that it wasn't so difficult to put on shows, I thought, why not? I think art is incredibly important. It's very valuable to me, and participating in it is a way of, I guess, fighting back all of the negativity and the cuts that are so problematic in Vancouver. And I also, like kind of Josh mentioned, I think community is very important. And in my nursing, I do community work. And I think the DIY aspect, I've been able to find a way to put the shows on with not too much work, and keep them organized, and because it's fun. it's not worked for me to do it. And I kind of hope when I talk to other people that they can see that it's difficult in some ways, but really, like, it has been pretty easy. And I kind of get things done by corralling my friends into volunteering. And because they're doing things that they enjoy and that they're good at, they generally don't have a problem and are very reliable. So I think that it's also important as a way to support other, like, smaller spaces. For example, like the Toast Collective, we were able to put on our shows, our art parties there, because I had, I'd used their space for the Sea Gallery last minute, and it was really awesome, great space. And one of their members was robbed at one of her shows. She had her cash box stolen, and with the proceeds we had made at the Bill Murray show, well, not I gave her some, like, helped her out a bit with our proceeds, because she puts on, she also gets artists together, sells their wares at a pop-up shop that she runs at the Toast. And yeah, so, you know, it's important to kind of support what's going around and keep that going, because it's just, yeah, you can't survive without art, really.
Do you have any art in the show?
I don't know if I can share what it is.
Okay, before it's no, I'm after kidding. 9 o'clock.
I'm working on one piece, which is to a double-decker bus that would be wearable. We could fit maybe 2 to 3 people inside of it, that has flashlights as headlights, and we plan on taking pictures with people inside of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit of a twist on the photo booth. Do you have a favorite practicing artist in Vancouver right now?
Well, I'm kind of biased. It's one of my best friends.
Go for it.
Ola Volubieva. She's a great illustrator. Just recently graduated from Emily Carr and is currently in New York promoting some of her work. And another kind of favorite I have is Matt Bowen, who has been a regular submitter to the shows that we put on, and currently is Sporty Spice, and so you'll see him at the show.
So again, check out the picture on our Facebook.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, the other thing that we were talking about was, you know, you mentioned the space. Is there a space in Vancouver, if you could put on one of these shows at a space in Vancouver, if you could reclaim it for one of these art shows, mm-hmm. are there any that you would be interested in doing?
Oh, dear.
Because, I mean, you're in a tattoo shop at this point, so, and they are a gallery, but have you looked in longing at any of the spaces in Vancouver?
You know, I actually wouldn't mind doing something outside, and because I'm personally a big fan of public art and street art, well, graffiti. And if I were able to, I'm just thinking, like, maybe something like a, you know, Robson Square, like something just in the middle of, like, the busiest area of Vancouver, and putting something on, that would be, because our shows, like, I think we're family friendly at our shows, even though my language isn't always, but we've had kids come and people bring strollers and stuff into the shows, and some of the artwork can be vulgar or
raunchy,
yeah. and address, you know, different themes of sexuality.
Well, people let their kids look and listen to the Spice Girls, and they were a little raunchy, weren't they?
Very much so. Ginger Spice, come on. and I think having it public would be great, because, and, you know, generate discussions between you and your kids or you and your friends, and that's kind of a nice aspect, even though it's a pop culture thing, that, you know, there are very important issues that underlie the symbols and whatnot that are displayed.
I just want to give a shout out officially, make it a fish, mm-hmm. To the Toast Collective. Jason was actually from the Toast Collective, was actually going to join us today, and he wasn't able to make it, so I thought I'd do some of his work for him, because I'm just like that. just to give you the quick rundown, they are actually looking for members right now, and what they are a collective that operate the Toast, an art, food, and event-centric space at 648 Kingsway in East Vancouver. It's in the Little Mountain area. It's actually just around the corner from my house, and it's in that area where, like, Button Button is, and the Art Room, and it's like this weird little
there's
place.
There's a nice park across the street.
There's a beautiful park, yeah. It's like a weird little between all these industrial kind of streets. It's a really cute little space.
Don't forget the Bible bookstore.
Oh, of course. And basically their mandate is to provide artists with accessible showcase for their work. So music, I mean, when we were at the art show, there was a, you know, music going on. You can bring whatever you've
Mark
got.
Mark Woodyard, he's going to be performing as well.
He did an amazing, like, electro cover, like moody cover of Viva Forever, which actually was really amazing. Yeah. Which made me sad that I was like, there's a potential in there the whole time, Spice Girls. Right now, they're especially interested in projects that are art-based, using the Toast as a studio, and they are looking for two collective members. They already have five different projects that's going on. There's Eat the Rich, Community Kitchen, Violet Wire Union, which is an organizational entity, the Bearcat Brewing Collective, The Temporary Thing, a theatrical collective which uses a space for theater rehearsals. And they actually did the Bombardy of Errors Temporary Thing with 20-something theater. So they were attached to that whole Jesse situation as well. And the Sunday Short Stack, which is a pop-up pancake breakfast. So just write the Toast Collective at Gmail, put tenancy in your subject line if you have some sort of project or want to kind of buy into this space or even just use the space. You're looking for people for July, and you can also look at what their upcoming events are on the toast.org/calendar. We are almost out of time. Thank you so much to Christina for joining us. Thank you so much to you across from me. I don't know why I referred to her in the third person at that point. Is there anything you want to mention? It's July 7th at the Fall Tattoo and Gallery, which is downtown. And you can check them out at thefalltattooing.com. And they have some amazing art all year round, but this is going to be a really fun event. When does it start during the day?
So the event starts at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And it runs until 2 a.m. Most of the art will be for sale, and I will tell you it's not priced, it's not inaccessible and for you to purchase. And one thing I'd just like to add is that we are still accepting submissions, and we, you know, we'll take your crazy ideas. We pretty much accept most mediums, and we'll try to be flexible to make your ideas happen. We do have a custom platform boot that is being sent from Montreal here
just,
for the show.
Just one boot, or do you get both boots?
I'm not sure yet. I haven't seen the picture, but we have actually sponsored, like, we're covering the fee, like the shipping fees to have it sent over. So we have a bit of leeway to also support people if you need printing costs covered.
I'm sure I don't need to mention this, but duh, show up in costume.
Yes, definitely show up in costume.
You'll just look silly if you're not dressed like something silly.
It's a fact. I suggest you watch Spice World and, you know, pick something, you
like
know,
you need
run
to
with
suggest
it.
Suggest that to me. Gosh.
It wasn't to you, Megan. It's to your listeners. But yeah.
I just want to do a couple quick announcements. Next week, we're going to be talking about Indian Summer, the Folk Fest. Spatial Poetics is something I've lined up, as well as a review and interview of Coast Modern from one of our new contributors, James Bates. And Beyond the Black Rainbow is something that I am working on getting a review as well. I will also be taking a hiatus from July 11th to August 1st, so I'll be missing four shows. I'll be back on the 7th. But there's going to be guest hosts, there's going to be bests of, and I'm just taking a little time to recharge all the good stuff that we do on the Arts Report, and I will keep you up to date. But I will be here next week with that amazing content. I think it's pretty amazing anyway. And I just wanted to thank you guys for listening. I also wanted to thank the Spice Girls, Christina Chant, Patty and Anna and Suzanne from Water Theater Terrific, Nick and Sarah and Ariel for their coverage of the Jessies, and all of you for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast at citr.ca/shows. You can tweet at citr_arts_report and we're the Arts Report on CITR on Facebook. I've been Megan Thomas. You've been listening to the Arts Report, and most importantly, send me suggestions of what you want to hear while I'm away. If you